This is the Financial Coconut Podcast, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. My name's Rakesh, and together with Anthony, we scour the net to find worthy financial news and derive insights for all you coconuts. We are part-time investors with an intense full-time career. If we can do it, you can too. So join us every Wednesday for TFC's weekly market updates. Hello.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello, coconuts. Welcome to another weekly episode where we scour the net to find worthy financial news for you. This week, three stories, as usual. I think I should stop saying that, to be honest. You always know it's three stories. We're going to kick things off with TSMC earnings. We have been bringing up chips over the last couple of weeks. Microchips. Semiconductors. Sorry. And we're going to talk about TSMC's earnings. Even though they may have done well, they really released a mixed report. We then focus a little bit on China in terms of macro news and something called golden shares in Tencent and Alibaba. Want to find out more? Listen to the episode. Let's get to it. Hey, coconuts. Welcome back to TFC's weekly market updates with me, Rakesh.
And Anthony, and just before Chinese New Year.
Yes. Hey, are we actually going to do an episode next week?
Not my call.
I think we should. Given that, you know, I think Wednesday everybody's back at work, you know. Then they might need some what to listen to.
Dude, on the way to work, right? It's like Wednesday.
Yeah, on the way to work. Yeah. Can what a little bit. You know, the huge.
Can. As long as I'm not the one doing the like back end editing, you know, I think I'm fine.
Yeah. Okay, let's speak to our guys about it. Hopefully, they'll be all right. If they are, we'll definitely record through.
Yeah. If not, then one week a year off is okay. Okay, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. We give you Deepavali also.
Wow. So much love.
Equality, you know.
Got you. Hey, coconuts. All right. So for this week, we have a couple of stories coming
China
through.
China focused.
Yeah. Well,
kind of.
Taiwan also.
Taiwan's about.
Donut.
Taiwan has China in its name.
Donut. Okay. So yeah, first we're going to talk about TSMC. They've just had an earnings call. We talked about them a couple of weeks ago. When they opened up a plant, but we want to talk a bit more about the earnings call now and the outward or forecast in 2023. We then want to bring up China, right? We're going to touch on golden shares in Alibaba and Tencent, and last but not least, a little bit on the macro news. Well, Anthony, besides the Chinese coming to Singapore to do all the jabs for COVID-19, it'll be nice to hear a little bit of macro news.
Hopefully, some positive things coming through. They buy our milk powder. They, you know, take our jabs. They don't really take our jobs. they take our property that I cannot afford anyway. That's not the point. Yeah. They take our property.
Take our property. So, and then because of that, they cannot afford because they can always pay more.
No, I mean, you look at the guys like buying out entire condos or buying like, you know, 5-10 houses at once, right? That's insane. No way we can afford that. The market go back to 2020, 2021, also cannot afford.
Yeah, true. All right, let's jump into our first story, TSMC earnings.
Yes.
So, well, they released
TSMC a lot recently, yeah.
We covered 2 weeks ago lah. And then I think one more time in the quarter lah.
Yeah, then I think Max and Willy also released a new video about it today. But, yeah. Shit, man. I mean, this wasn't
planned. It is in the news. It wasn't, but we do need some positive news. So I'm assuming that this is the best news that we can find.
They also go close on Monday. I don't got no news. Like when we do like our last minute research for the show, it's like, no news on Monday.
Yeah, man. Ayo. But TSMC, I mean, we spoke about them last week. They released their November numbers. They released their December numbers a few weeks ago. And as expected, right? 78% forecast beat in fourth quarter profit. That's insane, right? Yes. Obviously, we saw a rise from the first announcement in November when they opened the plant all the way through when you look at the pricing. And it's been rising since the earnings call. However, what they tried to do here was to really manage expectations. At least that's what I felt from the earnings call, right? They said that, hey, you know what? We were... effectively, as interest rates increased, as we saw all of these macro trends and everyone, you know, struggling and so on and so forth, they were quite immune to it, mainly mm-hmm. because of the demand that was coming through from Apple, from AMD, from Qualcomm, from Nvidia, right? These are the people they actually manufacture for. However, they do assume that there is a cycle coming through that is going to bottom in the first half of Q1 in 2023. So I think, first H1. So H1 2023, they expect some sort of a dip in terms of supply. And Anthony, I think we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago with regards to the semiconductor.
Yeah, we talked about TSMC 3-4 weeks back. Then we talked about Samsung last week.
We forgot. That's right. And then and then Micron, right? Was the other one we spoke about.
Yeah, Micron was the other one. I think, you know, and you kind of see the difference now, right? Like, you know, Samsung, they were hit really hard because they do a lot more memory. I mean, they have like 5nm nodes and 7nm nodes and all that, but they do a lot more memory. That's the bulk of their business, and that's been a lot of where the glut is, right? Which is why, as a foundry, they just go, oh shit, I just can't sell. You know, whereas TSMC has a bit more market share in the higher end, 3nm is ramping up, but like 5nm, 7nm, that's the bulk of it, and that's where they have most of their market share. So, it has been going gangbusters, but they are forecasting a slowdown. And I think that the slowdown is right. Apple isn't looking to sell. Apple is forecasting that they can't sell as many phones as they thought they could, right? First half this year. We have talked about AMD and Nvidia's chip glut as well, where they had too much inventory. TSMC has kind of held on for a bit because they had contracted capacity, so they were producing, and that's come through in their revenues. But as all their customers have a glut, they just kind of have to slow down production for a bit. So that all makes sense. I think it all lines up quite nicely. Yeah. Everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet, that is.
Yeah. and hopefully they didn't plan it, right? So yeah. I think that's absolutely right, right? Even though we saw some amazing numbers from TSMC, I'm sure even they were like, whoa, this is pretty amazing, right? Let's tell the world about it first before our earnings call.
Market's forward-looking, right? So yeah. This is the past already. It's irrelevant.
True. But, the other question that I have here, right, is it a good buy now, right? We've seen, I think the heights was at 700.
700.
Now it's... I think it was 700.
Wrong company, yeah. It's $80 though. How do you get to 700?
I'm talking about Taiwan dollars, sorry. I say.
Shit. I'm like, my $80 go to 700. Not bad, not bad. I'll take 400. I don't even need 7.
Right. Okay, very funny. All right, let me take a look at it now. Yeah, so it was 700 Taiwan dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, 145. Okay, I was just going to change it to USD.
Yeah, 145 USD. And now it's 86. Yeah, 86 pre-market today, 17 Jan.
Yeah. So roughly, 80%, 90% there to go back to that heights, right?
Yeah.
The question here is, do you see good management? Do you see good planning in 2023? Do we believe in TSMC in growing that revenue?
Well, for more in-depth news, listen to Max and Willy, right? Hey bro, I'm helping them plug, right? But yes. I mean, in a sense, yes, right? I mean, they are I mean, we bang on about this quite a bit, but they are the market leaders in terms of their technological output, right?
Mm.
They are obviously building more and more factories for a reason, because because they are getting contracted capacity, right? They know that they'll be able to sell, or they have people committed to buy the chips that they produce, you know, 3-4 years down the line when they build up the new foundry. So, you know, I think it's so in that sense, it's stable, it's not going to die, right? Whether it's a fair valuation, I think, really depends. I thought it was quite interesting that, oh, they say, oh yeah, you know, we are down like first half of the year, but we'll pick back up again in the second half. I was like, that's a really quick cycle, right? It's like 6 months, yeah. So that's my down cycle, and then I go back up to the up cycle again. And I don't know. I mean, I definitely hope it happens, but if there's really going to be a recession, nobody's going to buy iPhones anymore and all that, is that maybe too optimistic? I don't know, right? I think that's the concern. Yeah. Management, all that, you know, Maurice Cheng is obviously, you know, great. He has kind of built up this whole, you know, Taiwanese semiconductor supply chain from scratch. I was reading that Chip Wars over the holidays, fantastic book. I think, you know, there's it's a good company in a sense. Is it a good company at a great price? I think, you know, the only reason why it's fallen about 40% instead of 80 or 90 is because it's a good company, right? So, you know, unlike some other companies that have no profits or no free cash flow. So yeah, I think that's pretty much about it. Is it a screaming buy now? Probably not. I mean, the market's quite rational about that. And there's always that, you know, geopolitical overhang of, oh yeah, you know, China will invade Taiwan, and then all of this will die. So
absolutely,
you could go to zero.
Well, let's not hope for any of those wars. But yeah, I mean, there is a possibility that could happen. But yeah, okay, cool. I think that's a good insight there. I am a little skeptical about the 6 months. The only way that I could see that is that they maybe have some contracts coming up or something that they have to develop for 2024, which obviously would start 6 months before. The only thing popping up there would be what, not Samsung phones, but iPhones and maybe new chips coming up from AMD and Qualcomm.
I mean, so, I think there's probably a lot of them, right? And it's not, and it might not even be just, you know, AMD or Nvidia. It could be Amazon, you know, or Google coming up with their own custom chips and putting that in their data centers, right? And I think a big part of why they see that the second half coming up is because their 3nm nodes are ramping up in production. So I think they have started producing it on a commercial scale, but you know it should really kick off in like April or May. And these are like leading edge chips, right? Which everybody wants, and they'll pay the highest prices for. So, you know, I think that is maybe why they say that their revenue is going to be boosted in the second half. It's not so much second a half. General cycle thing. It's more, you know, they have a new product coming and that is going to take time to ramp.
Yeah. Let's have a look. It's always good to play this out. Keep an eye on these ones, guys. I think it's a good angle here.
It's their lowest ever price to sales or they're close to their lowest ever like price to earnings like ever. Mm. Okay, ever is not that far back, but still. Oh, but it is at 400 PE, so. what's their price to sales? How can this be? You know, I think Tiger is lying to me. 230 price to sales. This cannot be right.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, price okay, sales, okay. This is Tiger anyhow. Oh, it should be 6. Oh, it's 6.5. Oh, okay. This is the Tiger app being screwy when you scroll into their numbers. Yeah, it's 6.5. It's quite reasonable.
It's quite low. Yeah.
PE cool. is 16. Keep an eye on reasonable. It. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I asked those questions, right?
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, if it's going to bottom out, do we want to wait till, you know, mid Q1, Feb, March?
Well, just DCA, you know, we buy like 5 stocks every week. Fortnite. Then after, wait, that's $400 a month, right? Five stocks every fortnight. After a while, after 10 months, 1 year, just nice when their cycle comes, you have a lot, quite a nice pile already, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No need to watch out fire.
All right, let's move on to our next story. And
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anthony.
All right.
I know you were trying to not talk about China, but let's get to it.
No, everybody talks about US now. It's a bit boring. The headline, at least from the Financial Times, was, you know, China takes golden shares in Alibaba and Tencent. I was like, wow, this is very cool, right? What's golden shares? Literally, right? Is it golden? Or is it like, you know, a golden egg?
Nothing to do with Chinese New Year, right?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, Chinese New Year is... Oh, yeah. This year, Chinese New Year is very expensive. Hey, you can't visit it. You give my kids ang pao, ah. You're married. Reggie cannot come. He's single. I need to give him ang pao. But you can come.
Got you.
China... So I think what it is literally... the Chinese government, or rather, like they are sending their SOEs out, and then they are taking like 1% stakes in, you know, subsidiaries or like key entities within like the Alibaba and Tencent, right? So it's not so much the list co or the Cayman company with the VIE structure. It's the actual operating entity in China itself, and you know they've kind of been doing this since 2015 with like their news outlets and all that. And they did this, I think, last year with ByteDance, you know, but obviously not as big news because ByteDance is private. And okay, big news in the US because then people say, oh yeah, you know, Chinese government spying, you know, over TikTok. So you never know. Then they did it with like Bilibili. So now the latest one they have extended to Alibaba and Tencent. But yeah, essentially it's a 1%, you know, shareholding in certain subsidiaries. They get a board seat, they get certain rights. As a shareholder, like veto rights, that kind of stuff. All relatively typical. I mean, you go to any like PE, VC, you know, like Tiger famously asks for board seats, you know, all the time, right? They never actually exercise it, but in their shareholders agreement, they have board seat, you know. So it's not super unusual because you want control, you want oversight. You know, I think where maybe a lot of the fear, a lot of the concern, a lot of the rhetoric is, well, you don't know what the Chinese government wants, right? Yeah. you don't know exactly what their veto rights are over and all that. Which again, you know, it's not atypical for private companies. It's just that you don't. You know, this is the Chinese government, and therefore people are just more worried than normal.
Yeah, I mean, mainly I think for me as well, right? Hearing this. Coming at what they have done to industries, right? About, you know, the real estate, and then with the gaming, and then with education, right? It sounds as though, like, if they want to do something, they can do it really, really quickly. And this gives them a little bit of authority and power to do that.
No, but...
do you think we should be as worried for that one or not really?
No, see, I think that's completely different, right? So, you know, for gaming, for real estate, for... that's not education, right? It was very, very clear external, right? So it was the government setting regulations saying, no, don't do this, don't be stupid, right? And that is something that they have done for these big tech companies. So famously, like they pulled the Ant Financial IPO, you know, they have imposed like fines upon all these tech companies. And so like the last 2-3 years, the tech crackdown is really external, right? It's regulation, it's law, it's pushing down. This is, I don't know if it's insidious, but this is a bit more subtle because it's not public anymore. Laws are public, right? These regulatory crackdowns are public. This is private in the sense that you don't know what these people who are nominated in will say or will decide, right? And they might not even have as much power, right? I mean, the newspapers and all that still operate. We all assume that they operate in under a censored manner, right? But they still operate. They're still, you know, profitable businesses and all of that. So is it necessarily a bad thing as a business? I think, you know, I don't think you can say that just because the Chinese government has a stake in it, you know, then it's definitely now has become a bad business.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be a bad business, but I think that even though they have a 1% share, right, that's if they would choose to exercise it and say something during a board meeting, there will be influence, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of them being a 1% share. So they could be influential in that board, and obviously hear about
I mean, definitely. So I think there's two things, right? One is, you know, it's not the Chinese government actually taking the shares, right? They kind of nominate an SOE somewhere, which is maybe tangentially related to take the share. So, you know, interestingly, Tencent has been going around lobbying, saying, I don't want your Beijing people to come and take my share, right? I have a regulator in Hangzhou. I will give them the share. It's okay. You know, so there's also a bit of a battle in them choosing the arm of the Chinese government to be the shareholder, right? And what they're hoping for is obviously, you know, these are my local regulators. I'm more familiar with them. I don't want some, you know, guy from Beijing coming in very big and not listening to me at all. So there is that battle for influence. You know, that's one. And two, I think at the end of the day, we have to be very careful, right? Because, you know, in every company, right, different people have influences. I mean, you look at, we talked about this before, like your US activist investors, you know, they also go and demand a board seat, right? I mean, last week, what, Nelson Peltz went to the Disney board and said, I want a seat. I have 1% or 5% of the company, and then they said no, right? And then he kicked out a whole big fuss about it. So, you know, I mean, these are things that kind of happen everywhere, right? There is nothing, at least at this stage, super insidious about this just because it's the Chinese government, right? And I mean, if you look at it from a different perspective, what's the government's historic concerns been historically, right? It's always about censorship, about, you know, controlling news flow, about all of that. Until common prosperity, it's never been really about not letting you make a profit. Right, so it's not impossible. It could be that they'll go into Tencent and say, "Hey, Tencent, you're making too much money. You have to stop making so much money," and reel their influence as a director and as a shareholder in that manner. But I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, they will definitely do that at this stage, lah.
Yeah, fair. Let's see how this pans out. I'm cautious on this. But you're right. I mean, they could just be very well, look, I want a say, I'm not going to exercise it. But if should anything go wrong and I need to intervene, at least they have a legal way in to intervene.
Or they could say, I just want content moderation, right? You know, I want, like Tencent has Tencent Video and Tencent Music. I want to be in charge of content moderation. You know, like they've done with Bilibili and ByteDance. It could be, you know, there's a lot of different ways to play it. I think where it gets really worrying for me maybe two or three things. One is that, you know, it comes out somehow that whatever rights their nominee director has a veto over are financial matters. So if that person can veto, you know, any M&A or any investment, or if that person suggests an investment, you have to do it. I think that's a bit too far, because then it kind of takes the control away from the other managers or the other directors, right? I mean, if the other directors can outvote him, it's not a reserve matter, that's fine. But if he has like the final say, then I think that's a bit worrying. And two is maybe a bit, you know, higher, a bit more zoomed out, is if the company starts doing weird things, right? Like, you know, they suddenly start, well, not donating more, but they suddenly start like closing down business units and all that. They are super profitable. And you can't see any reason for that except that, you know, it suits Chinese society, right? Then you can say, okay, fine, you know, the Chinese government is maybe being a bit too activist internally. I'm worried as a shareholder about, right? So I think, you know, there are definitely steps to say that, okay, yeah, you know, this is getting out of control. They are no longer a profit-making enterprise. I don't want to be a shareholder of that. Therefore, I sell my shares. But I think at this stage, it's hard to say, right? It's all conjecture.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know,
I mean, we've just heard about this.
Yeah. And I think that the last point is probably that when you, then this also means that when you look at a Chinese company, you know, you cannot really be seduced by like, oh, Jack Ma is visionary or Pony Ma is visionary, that kind of stuff, right? Unlike, well, like how you think about a US company where like there's a super great CEO and everybody just follows. I think your analysis and all that has to kind of switch and focus really more on products or more on the economics of the business and all that, because your management might not have as much power as, let's say, a US listed company has, right? So so your lens has to kind of shift that way as well.
Got it. Cool. Interesting. How we could actually perceive this. Yeah. And let's see how this holds again, right? I mean, I think everything that we're bringing up today is always, let's see how we go with this, because it's new.
This is a problem of news, right? It's developing. I mean, I wish I knew the conclusion. Then I'll just know what to do, But I think it's all that, you kind of have a picture in your head, and all these pieces of incremental news just, adds on to that picture, which is why you should listen to us every week, because we help you add to the picture every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Nice plug, bro.
I'm trying. People did not vote for our show in the Telegram chat. I'm so upset.
easy. All right. Let's move on to our last.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Last topic for today.
All right. China, macro.
Macro.
I know. Exciting. Not super exciting. It's just because there were quite a few related pieces of economic news that came out over the past week. So I was like, let's just kind of jumble them all together and we can talk about it. So I think three main pieces of China macro news. First is, exports, right? So they released export figures sometime late last week, declined nearly 10% year-on-year, but they still have a huge trade surplus, right? What does that mean? Maybe we can talk about it later. Then the next one was, China GDP grows 3% in 2022, so lower than their 5.5% target, not great, right? This is pretty much their lowest GDP ever since the 70s, except for 2020, which was like COVID year, right? So that's two. And then the third is, China's population fell in 2022 by 850K to 1.4 billion. And this is like their first decline in 60 years. So, that lots of people also coming out and going, this is the demographic bomb is changing, China will never be as rich again, whatever, right? Lots of news about that as well. So I think that's the three big pieces of Chinese macro news. I mean, I don't know, right? What do you think about them so far? Like just first impressions.
I think they are obviously, like we spoke about, this no COVID policy really played into their GDP, right? I think that's the big one that I'm looking at, because as a Virgin China investor, I am looking to go into China now, because when they say they were opening up, they were looking at different things. Is that a good angle to go to say, okay, what else can be done? Will there be more GDP and economic growth throughout 2023? So that was really, really the one that I've been looking at. The other one, exactly like what you brought up, I heard today.
I think it's gone up I don't even know how much it's gone up over the past month. let me check for you. Where's my list? Lion OCBC Hang Seng Tech Index. I think it's gone up 40% in the past 2 months. That's why DCA, time in the market.
So that's definitely the way, right? And then the other one that I was reading today, actually, or not reading, but listening, was on CNA. In my office, the lift that goes up and down is this CNA. And I legitly just stayed there to watch this China thing. On population, right? And that's actually when they plotted out the graph based on the people getting married and the forecast that they have and the number of people moving into the working world, it's a little scary that the drop that's going to happen over the next 30 years, 40 years. So I think that is, that again is something that we are seeing because of their, yep. I think what they call it, the one child policy that they started a while back, right?
Like, I think it was 60s or 70s, right? So that's demographics, right? It takes 20 years before you even see some sort of slight change.
Exactly. And at the same time, apparently, even in China, people are themselves, now that they don't have this one child, they actually deciding not to have kids or deciding only to really only have one kid.
Yeah.
So how is that going to play out over the next, you know, 40, 50, 60 years? And I think that's something that is... you know, how will that affect the market? How will that do all of this? That's something that I'm thinking about now. Since you brought it up, I wanted to ask you, what do you think on this, right? Given that what the forecast has been over, I think until 2100.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, one is it's demographics, right? So it'll take, 10, 20, 30 years to have any effect. And I mean, well, I think that's probably three reasons why I don't think it's a super big deal yet. The first is I'm not that long-term an investor, right? Or rather, I will change my position within 30 years, right? Let's put it that way. I flip-flop very quickly. So no conviction, right? Just flip-flop. So, you know, it's okay. Yes, it doesn't happen 30 years later. It's not happening now. Maybe I'll think about it in 20 years' time when you know, it's 10 years away. Right? So 30 years is a bit too far to worry about for me. I can still buy Alibaba, I can still buy Tencent. You know, just because there's going to be an aging population doesn't mean anything to me now. Right? And if your DCF is 20 years long, I think you should, you know, reflect on yourself why you need that to be the case. The second is, I think, you know, this isn't anything new, right? I mean, East Asia is full of countries with low birth rates. You know, Japan, very famously, has had one for decades. You know, Korea, Taiwan, these are the classic examples. Singapore also has this problem.
Declining.
You know, and the way that Singapore has dealt with it is, well, I don't have enough people, I let people in. Right? And that's kind of the way the US has dealt with it as well, right? You allow net inflow of population. So, you know, that maybe isn't as workable for China because, well, it's China. It's a completely different language. They don't really have that much cultural sway at this stage. Maybe in 30 years they'll have, but at this stage they don't. So, you know, they maybe they can't really rely on net inflows of people as a whole to the country, right? But if you think about it, you know, China is so big and not every part of China is the same. Right, there's the super developed parts which, you know, have a lot of services contribution to GDP. There's the very highly advanced, you know, manufacturing centers which also have, you know, high contribution to GDP, and then lagging far behind you have like your agricultural areas or that kind of stuff, right? So I think what will happen is, you know, within China there'll be a lot of migration, right? People will leave the rural areas, they'll try to go to and you have urbanization. And then everybody will try to get, you know, jobs in the big cities and all that. So, you know, will your services sector, will all these things, you know, naturally suffer? Well, no, right? They still have the net inflows of people coming in that can help support it. You know, it's all your laggards and all that that will suffer. And, you know, again, you kind of see this in Japan where people want to sell you a house for $2 because nobody wants to stay there. You know, nobody stays in that town, right? Not even nobody stays in that town. Nobody stays in that town.
Yeah.
You can go to Spain and buy like rural villages, or people give you rural villages provided you build out infrastructure, right? So, you know, I think this, like, we have seen these problems before. Again, these are not problems unique to China. You know, it will happen and people will come out with a way to fix it or to address it or to adjust it. So, not super worried. Yeah,
got it.
Yeah, nice headline, lah. You know,
true. Yeah.
Maybe they just opened up so that all the old people who are not vaccinated kind of get COVID, and then things happen. So, well, my aging population is no more, lah.
Then you want to have a 90% driving GDP, lah, of your entire country.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to balance out your demographics, right? You know, like wars balance out demographics. Pandemics do the same.
Morbid.
Chinese New Year coming. Let's end on a happier note.
Sure. Hey, we did the lohe today at the office. It was nice.
Oh, that was early. No, it's not early anymore.
It's Sunday, right? The Chinese New Year. So,
yes, first day is Sunday.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess to all the coconuts out there, right? Happy New Year. Qing Yan Kuai Le. Did I say that right, Anthony?
All right. Yes. What's the next sentence?
I'm done. I don't know the next sentence.
Gong Xi Fa Cai.
What are? Okay.
Okay.
Awesome, folks. You have a good week. Have a good weekend. Have a good public holiday. Have a good Chinese New Year. And we will catch you, if not next week, the week after.
All right.
Thanks so much.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode with me, Rakesh, and trust that you learned something today. If you enjoyed the session and want to be part of the banter, join our community Telegram group or follow us on social media. We also have a weekly newsletter to get a digest of the news we covered. To sign up, please click the description below. As always, we love your feedback, so share that with us at hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. Thanks, and stay safe.